prayed, and we believe God for, I believe God for Trump to get in there. And I know millions of Americans, you know, and us that could see, you know, we could see that our nation was in bad shape, you know, and actually as it is in the natural realm, a lot of times the way it is in the spiritual realm. But we prayed and some of us fasted and we believed God to turn America around. And he did it. He sent us a David. He sent us somebody like David, hallelujah. Restoring rights, uncovering. The man came in and it's kind of the way we are, you know, we start serving God and God begins to reveal how the enemy's had us bound, right? Begins to reveal to us what's held us back in life. And then we begin to walk with the Lord. Well, that's what happened. I don't think our president come in the first term knowing he... I don't believe that God let him get in the second term. I believe he needed that second term because he knew a lot and put a lot together in that 4 years. And when he came in, he come in like God to me. And I mean, he began to set things, and when he began to set things in order, the Lord through him, we give God all the glory. Hallelujah. And he began to set things in order. When he did, it began to uncover darkness. It began to uncover the enemy that caused Satan works in darkness. And when light comes, he's revealed. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I just want us to thank God together for last year. You know what God has done? The whole cabinet, Trump's cabinet, just a week or so ago at Christmas, I'll read you what they said. I kind of just caught it, and I thought, that's awesome, man, that God has did that. Trump's cabinet, that's the ones he's put in, you know, to work these things for us. But the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, stated, Christmas is the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ. I've heard more this last year about Jesus in the government than I ever have the whole 30 years that I have been born again. I've heard Jesus mentioned. I've heard him, and Trump even called for national prayer. First time that I can remember, I'm not saying it is the first time, that I can remember that he called America to pray. National prayer. But the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, Christmas is the hope of eternal life through Christ Jesus. The HUD Secretary, Scott Turner, he said, celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The U.S. Department of Labor said, let earth receive her king. Hallelujah. And then the Department of Homeland Security, it says, rejoice America, Christ is born. And I thought, praise God, hallelujah. God is bringing Jesus back on the, he was forefront with our government. Hallelujah. And our president, some of you may know or may not know, they're surrounded. He's surrounded by Christians. And he has people, Christians, praying for him and great leadership, like Jensen Franklin and a lot of them, lifting him up. And that's biblical. You know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, you know, and so they're giving him light into the demonic realm that he don't know nothing about. I don't know if Trump's born again or not, you know. But he made this statement. He said, but I believe that if good works will get you there, I might make it. Because he feels like he's doing good for America, you know. And he is, hallelujah. But I want to thank God because it's not a man. And I've always felt like, and no man can save our nation and our country, our families, but the Lord. And I believe that we Christians stood up and brought God back in on the scene. And the next move, there is a worldwide revival going on by the Holy Ghost. Now, we might live down here in Montfort, and we ain't seen it like we're seeing it, pray, but we're going to. God is fixing to turn it on for us by the Holy Spirit. I believe 2026 is going to be a great year. But let's just praise God for a minute. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Father, for 2025, God. It's been a glorious year, God. God, we have watched your hand in our life, in our businesses, in our marriages. We've watched it in our families. You have brought restoration, Lord, and healing and deliverance, God. And we praise you for that. And we thank you, Father God, that you have brought our nation back towards God. Father, I thank you, Father God, that you have uprooted darkness, God, and you're expelling it, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that signs, wonders, and miracles will happen in our government, Father God, in this wonderful year ahead of us that you've given us. And Father, we thank you for the church that you've given us. We thank you for the ministry that you've allowed us to be a part of for all of these years, Father God. And we praise you for all of the past glory that you've done, and we give you glory for that, God. But we thank you for what you're doing in 2026, God. And God, we're going to make fresh commitments to you this year, not just resolutions, Father God, but we're going to surrender to you, Father, as you lead and guide and direct this ministry, Father God, by your Holy Spirit, God. We're going to endeavor to surrender to your will, Father, as a ministry, and each one of us individually, God, as you lead each one of us into ministry, Father God, and we praise you and thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for this service tonight, God, and I thank you, Lord, that I will speak what you'd have me to speak, and Lord, you will get all the glory. We thank you, Father, that we have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive and understand, and we'll be sure to give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. You can start it, Beth. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now, started off, God began to speak to me about 2026 of increase, and she's got a good heart, Richard, because we all do. But, you know, it's not just about what God can do for us. You know, in our tithes and all, we give it to have food in his house, right? Lights and water. But we do expect God to open the windows of heaven and pour us out. But we all always got to keep that foremost, you know, in our heart, that we're giving to God because we love him. He saved us. I mean, he delivered us. Some of us should be dead. I mean, and even if you are not, you know, we were damned. We was already condemned by sin, and he saved us from it, praise God. But God is going to increase us in 2026. You know, he brought evangelist Michael in and stirred me up. I mean, I got stirred up, man. I mean, I started out evangelizing, and I had no idea that I would ever pastor, you know, and I really enjoyed evangelism, but it was because I was called. He called me to do it and begin to open doors and stuff just like he's going to do for you guys at this church, praise the Lord. I felt like that I'm just going to be on ministry for just a little while, you know, tonight. Because I told the Lord, I got before the Lord, you know, been praying about it, but when Michael come, it stirred up things, and I saw God move in my personal life in a mighty, mighty way as I endeavored back in my 20s to follow him in the ministry that I knew that I was called in. Every one of us is called into ministry. Some people, you know, they won't be five-fold ministry. I asked the Lord one time, got kind of frustrated, you know, because people would show up on Sunday morning at church and you wouldn't see them back no more maybe till the next Sunday morning. And so I'm asking the Lord, man, what's wrong with them, you know? And it was trying to frustrate me, just a young Christian and just starting out and seeing all this stuff. And one day God spoke to me and he said, son, he said, I'll bring them in to get my kingdom financed. And I thought, oh, my God, they're not getting nothing but losing their money to God. And I thought, he said, not that. I was thinking wrong, Johnny. But I thought, when we're believing God, you know, like we was as a church, and we're believing for buildings and land like we was, you know, I mean, I saw the increase of the finances in the local church and people coming in, but God was teaching me. God was teaching me through that what he was telling me is what I call you to do and I anoint you to do, I will supply. You know, and I had this revelation that I'd give my heart to Jesus and my bills was his bills. Right? He bought me. I don't belong to myself, right? You don't belong to yourself, right? Hallelujah. And he took us on. And he said, I'll take care of it. Lean not to yours. Don't try to figure it out no more. Let me be the one that leads you and guides you, and I will take you into increase. It's going to be, now, you know, I mean, I emphasize greatly here because it's real to me about the will of God. You know, I mean, I'm up. I could retire. I don't even have to go to work anymore if I don't want to. You know, I could stay at home every day, and Travis and them could go do my business and all of that. But that's not the will of God for me. I'm in the will of God, going to work and all of that stuff. And that's where me doing the will of God, I'm not just talking about my business. I'm talking about you. Talking about the will of God. You know, once we find the will of God and in the church, we go with that. And then you will see signs, wonders. You'll see the Word of God backed up. He'll work with you and do signs, wonders, and miracles. Every one of us is called to talk to people about Jesus. Invite them to church. Invite them to the Lord, you know, because when you're inviting people to church, but sometimes if we get caught up in life and we don't really want to go to church ourselves, we're losing our zeal, then we will let down, and God, we've missed opportunities that God wants to use us because I can't reach the ones you are in arena with unless He just supernaturally lines it up. So the arena that you're in, He's wanting you to minister to those folks. He's wanting you to pray for those folks, you know. He's wanting you to invite them to church, hallelujah. And, you know, and so when the Lord began to, And I want to say this. I want to emphasize this really, really strong. I've been through in the ministry for 30 years. And I don't need a bravo. I got plenty of battle scars. I've been healed many of times emotionally. Come on, somebody. The church will hurt you. You know, I've had to lean on Him, you know, in times when I got hurt at church and I was going to quit at church. See, all of that was designed by the enemy, but at the same time, God was using it. It was designed by the enemy to get me to yield to my feelings and emotions and the emotional side so that I would quit the spiritual side, so that I would walk away from the things that God had called me to do. Because every one of us is called to this. If you're here and you believe God sent you here, you're called to serve this church. I'm called to serve this body. I'm called to serve this ministry, you know. And so, what I'm going to say this, you know, is not to point out all that I've done, because that's not about that. Because the things, just like the Lord spoke to me, and He said, I want you at the end of March, so we're going to put together a evangelistic team, and we're going to get this thing together by the end of March. And then we're going to go on the streets every Saturday giveaway. We're going to have two teams, maybe one go door to door. This is not the first time we've did this. And so God stirred it back up when Michael comes, stirred it up, and I'm like, glory to God. Boy, when He stirs you, and I'm going to speak this, God said, when you're speaking tonight, He said, you're not going to do it. I don't have the ability to stir you about the things of God. But God comes in through you hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Impartation comes by hearing, and hearing by God speaking His Word. Well, anyways, we're going to do that, and we'll set up on the streets and all of that, you know, and there'll be challenges because we got a lot that don't believe in our God around this little city now. Right? But we got to learn to walk in love. Right? Not argumentative. We got to walk in love, you know. But anyways, I'm down there, and I'm just going to church, and I'm walking with God and just doing my best. I'm praying and fasting, you know, and doing the things that I was learning as a Christian, that's what you do, not because I had to. I thought, this is the way of power. Praying, fasting, talking with God. I spent about 4 years trying to learn how to talk with God. It was real simple. You just get up and talk with Him, right? If you know, and but anyways, I'm going along doing all of that, and then all of a sudden, you know, I start feeling like I'm called to preach. You know, and I tell Teresa, you know, I'm called to preach, and I believe I'm called to preach, and we're young. I'm in my 20s. We're both in our 20s. She's in the early 20s. I'm in the mid 20s, a little past mid 20s, and we're on our way to church, and she said, everybody probably feels like that. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. Well, I got to church, and y'all know the story. God confirmed it through a man that had never been to the church. He just confirmed it, you know. Well, when he did, I went to Brad, and I told him, I said, I believe I'm called to preach. Like that, and so he told me, he said, I need you to go home with me Sunday. And I said, okay, after church. So I went home with him after church. He took me to the jail and turned me on to jail evangelism. And man, that was right up my alley. But God, hallelujah. I mean, because I was called to do it. It wasn't for everybody in that church. I'm the only one that was going at that time, you know. They had been to the jails and Bradley had been to the jails and all of that. But here God brought me in just like he's brought y'all in. You hear me? I'm talking about this church. He brought, and he turned me loose on that. Then before you know it, the city jail opened up. So on Sunday, I was going to Sunday school, 11 o'clock, leaving there, going to the city, to the county jail, then to the city jail, then leaving there and going back home, taking a shower, then going back to church on Sunday night. Then God added another ministry. I was going down the road one day and the Lord spoke to me and I'm working from 5 to 5. That's pretty much, you know, toting sheetrock, different thing, driving a truck, working 5 to 5. And then the Lord, you know, I'm going down the road one day, me and my brother, you know, I might have been in my business. I don't remember. But anyways, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to go to Blount County Jail. I thought, wow. So I told him, I said, go down there, take me down there. And I went down there, and it looked like I wasn't going to get in. Why I'm telling you that is I met challenges right off the bat concerning that. I wasn't licensed up there at that, and they're supposed to license me, and you had about 20 or 25 preachers going in there. And one of the deacons, after about a year, you know, he come to me, and he said, why don't you talk to Brad about it? I said, I will not make it happen. I'd already made up my mind, Johnny, and I looked at that deacon, and not no disrespect or anything. Rebellion won't get you in places where God wants you. Humility will. Humble get the grace. Humble go forward. Humble get their finances increased. Humble get their houses paid off. Humble gets everything worked out. And so anyways, I looked at that deacon. I said, no, don't go talk to him. I said, God opened that door. I said, I read in Revelation that he opens doors that no man can shut. Hallelujah. I said, he's opened that door. I said, he said, they're not asking you for your license. I said, no. I said, they're asking everybody but me. I said, so don't go say nothing. You'll mess God up right here. That's the way I felt. I thought, I'm moving in and God is moving mountains for me. That was a miracle to me, Johnny. That might not have been nobody else, but you'll hear what I'm telling you. When God begins to move and you begin to go and do, you will meet resistance from the enemy, your flesh, your family, church. It could be, I don't matter what, just stay in a right spirit, stay and say, God, you're wanting me to do this and I'm going to follow you. Lord, we just sing, your goodness is running after me. I don't just think about money when it's going to be good that we as a church and individuals lead people to Jesus. Remember where we was? I mean, we got to be careful that we don't get up where God brought us out of Egypt, brought us in where we barely had enough, brought us where we think we're sustained by our own effort and merits. That is when the Bible says for us to take heed, we stand lest we fall. See, our trust got us up here and in ministry because we're following Him. And that anointing, the gift won't keep you. The character will. The gift will make room for you, but character will keep you. But anyways, I'm going, and I told him, I said, no, I don't do that. And I'm telling you, all the preachers got mad. They're not asking for your license. And I said, no, man, God opened this door for me. They're like, what are you saying? God didn't open it for us. And I'm like, I didn't say that. So before you know it, I had a bunch of preacher hornets. That's a true story. You know, and I'd go home and I'd be like, man, I didn't mean to do that, God. I didn't. You know, I'm trusting you and it's making them mad. I'm learning things. I'm learning, you know, that everybody's not going to cheer you on when you're doing for Jesus. But at the same time, the more you grow and develop, the Bible says that he will make even your enemies be at peace with you when your ways please him. Right? When you're in faith, going forward, trying to reach people for Jesus, it's pleasing to God. That pleases God. We're chosen vessels, hallelujah. And that's what it means by seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. Well, I watched God and I told God, I said, God, I'm a busy man. I mean, you know, man, I'm having to work a full-time job and, man, I'm going to church. I'm not getting to come home anymore and, you know, see Teresa just a few minutes. We were talking about this. She was totally fine with it. The reason why is because I was in the will of God. And God's grace was covering my family. You know, and caused it to be good. The will of God is good. Well, you know, I'm thinking, oh, man, I thought, okay, whatever. So I did what I needed to do. I went to the enemy and I told him, I said, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I declare I will go do the will of God, because I got out there and then God said, how bad do you want it? Do you really want it? Going to that jail. Well, my mind says, no, not really, because I get home at 10 o'clock at night and I got to get up early. Right? There's something in your way right there. From doing what? I'm teaching you some good stuff here. And then I'm like, no, God will grace me. God will grace me. I said, yes, Lord. So I went to the enemy and I said, I'm going to the enemy's camp and I'll take back, because we had that song at church around about that time. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. See, I didn't take the praise and worship as song singing. I took the praise and worship and the music coming out of the mouths of that praise team and I used it in warfare in my life because it was in line with Scripture. So I thought, I'm going to the enemy's camp. And then I took Psalms 23 and I said, he has set a table for me in the presence of my enemies and my cup is going to flow over. Hallelujah. You know what? Nothing stopped me from going to that jail. I'd been to jail plenty of times. All of my family been locked up in that jail just about it. I don't know, many of them didn't go to jail sooner or later. And so when I went in there, they're like, you? Even at one time, they had, when I mentioned it here in church before we moved back here, and I mentioned going back to the jails, you know, leading the church maybe, and there was a girl went to this church that was a jailer down there. And she went in the next week or so or whatever and come back and told me, said, they've got a poster of you up down there. I said, where? She said, in the jailhouse, not to let you in. I just voiced it in this church. I'd said nothing to nobody. But you know what Satan heard? I told her, I said, God said, I'll go, I'll go. I done killed one bear down there. I've got some experience that he opened that door in spite of everything. See, and then I thought, that's why, God, I was thinking I would have to leave Blount County, but because people would not listen to me. They knew me, Johnny. But see, that was the enemy's mentality, because he told me later, he said, I can anoint you in a cow pasture. He said, right where you are. He said, I've called you and anointed you. And I went in and won hundreds to Jesus Christ in that jail. And those jails up there. And then, while I had a full-time job, going to church regular, had a Wednesday night service, then he spoke to me while I was on a prayer and a fasting. See, that's why prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord's good. The Lord told me, he said, I want you to go on the streets, and I could see it. I could just see it in my spirit going on the streets on a Friday night. And then I thought, man, another ministry. So I got church regular. I got two jails after church. Now I get to nap. Nah. So I'm talking to ministers in here, whether you know you are or you don't. And I'm not expecting every one of y'all to be in agreement with what I'm saying right now. It's going to add more to your life. It's going to, you're going to have to weigh out with God what God wants you to do. Now, I'm telling you my story, but I'm telling you what God did. I worked a full-time job. I had a street ministry. We had jail ministry. We had a street ministry at our church one Saturday every month, and we got in a bus, and I'm doing all of that. Till one time this lady, she said, how in the world, Mr. Weston, are you doing all of this? And I said, it's by God's grace. In other words, what I was telling her, that God is supernaturally anointing me to do all of this, and I don't never get wore out. 2001, the economy failed, and whatever happened in 2001, you know, and I didn't even notice it because I was so busy in the things of God. Until somebody asked me, did it affect your business? And I said, what? And they said, you know, the economy downfall. I said, I didn't know there was one until you just told me. I couldn't tell we lacked anything. Well, we didn't have news and stuff then that caused us to get in fear in our house. You know. If I'm hearing anything on Facebook, news feeds and all of that, if it ain't good, I scroll by it. If it ain't good about our government, I scroll by it. If it ain't good locking the devils up, I scroll by. Right? Let me go out here and rob a bank or embezzle. Let me cheat on my taxes. And they audit me. You know where I'll be? Jail. They will bust me. They will fine me. They will make me pay it back. They sent a letter gonna take Teresa's car one time. And she's like, they're not getting my car. It was a 96 Buick Century. So, if it's good for me, God said it's good for everybody. The law is of God for our good, right? That's why we don't break it and we're good. Hallelujah. The laws of the kingdom, the Bible, there's laws of the kingdom of God, laws. That's why the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatever a man sows, that shall he also. There's laws that govern the spiritual realm that we're in. That is why we are supernaturally anointed by God, and we can do exploits, extraordinary, where you can't wear us out, you can't get us to quit, you can't get us not to do the will of God. Because it is greater than he that is in us than he that is in this world. We're not in our own strength when we're doing the will of God. I'm not in my own strength being a husband. I done run out a long time ago. I'm not in my own strength pastoring this church. I don't look for somebody if some sickness is attacking me to preach most of the time. I'm here preaching. I've been attacked for 3 or 4 days. Slept a big part of the day. Boy, you can't tell it. You won't if you're in faith. No, you're expecting it to die any minute. You're expecting to get better and better. You're expecting no weapons formed against your you're expecting it to get out of your life and not going to affect your life at all. Not work, not ministry, not anything. And you take a stand against the things that comes against you being in the will of God. You being healed is being in the will of God. Right? Hallelujah. I like what Boldy there said on Facebook, Samantha. She said, you can set up late and watch a stupid ball fall New Year's Eve, but you can't come to church. She said, and wonder why your life don't change. True. It's true. You see, all, that's why I say it here, the sacrifices you make for Jesus will never outweigh the benefits you get back from Him out of the spirit realm. I'm talking about financially. I'm talking about emotionally. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about health-wise. Hallelujah. I know some 58, 59-year-old, they can't do nothing physically. And I'm 58, 59, looking forward to 80-something. 90-something. I'm going to have an anointing. I heard it out of a ministry. He said, God told me. He said, there's an anointing for your 20s and 30s and 40s. And 50. He said, but you got to lay hold of it and take it. He said, you got to lay hold of it. Look, you cannot continue with a defeated mentality and be a winner. We are not slaves to sickness. We're not slaves to fear. We're not slaves to defeat. We're not slaves to unbelief. We're not slaves to circumstances. You can become a victim of your circumstances real easy and be a Christian. Go around playing music in your head, I can't. I just can't, God. I can't, God. I can't. For you know it, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now you got to change that mentality and go around saying Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what I stood on back under when I was doing all that ministry, Johnny. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Just like when Lord told me to open this church. He told me to start a church. And when I found out it was this building belonged to me and my brother. And so I carried it to the Lord. I said, now, Lord, I don't know if He's going to have the same vision that I have about this building. But how many knows who knows? God does, right? And so I just give it to the Lord. I said, okay, Lord. I said, I'm going to give that to you and you move. Well, it wasn't about 2 or 3 weeks, my brother came to me. He said, you know, I really have no use for that building. I'm telling you this for a reason. It's not about my story. It's about what I knew God wanted in my life, right? And I set out to do it. That's what's going to work in yours. Obstacles were in the way. They're going to be in the way. Obstacles are going to get in your try to stop you. They did Paul. They did Jesus. I mean, Jesus went, and I bet you Finn's here, he'd have a bunch of them scribes and Pharisees sitting in the service. Couldn't stop the anointing in his life. Why? He wasn't looking at them. He didn't have his attention on them. He had his attention on the will of God. He said, I come not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him that sent me. And that will is going to take you into glory. Hallelujah. And so anyways, he come to me and he said, look, I really don't have no use for that building. He just said, you pay me back what I've got in it. And I said, okay, that's fine. So I paid him back what he had in it. And I told God, now this is what you can't do. So I told God, I said, okay, God. I said, the church can make payments back to me till they get me paid off. Till they get me, see the trouble I was having, right? And God said, I thought the building was mine. You thought, thank me for giving it to you and making a way for you. We thank Him for bringing us money, right? And jobs and increase, right? And paying our houses off, right? And so, you know, if He wants to use something we got, we ought to say, okay, God, I wouldn't have it without. I'm telling you, deep ministry stuff. And so I had to give God the building. This building belongs to Him. And I thought, man, that was part of my retirement later. I was going to do garage doors and retire garage doors and sell that building and have a chunk of money. Who is that about? Me, right? See, and later on I realized God don't want me setting up my future. He wants me saving. You ought to have a savings account. God can't bless your storehouse if you don't have one. Right? Man, Teresa's had a savings account. I should be really, really wealthy if I'd have done what Teresa said through the Holy Ghost years ago. Started a bank and a savings account and putting $10 a week in it. But I couldn't afford it, Richard. That's a lie of the devil. And I didn't do it year after year. And then I made up my mind, I'm going to do it. I missed him again on this. So I go to the bank, and I tell the bank, I say, okay. I said, what I want you to do, I said, I want to open up a banking account. I said, and I want you to transfer so much money a week into this account right here. And at that time, they couldn't do that. She said, we don't do that. She said, you just have to come put some in it when you want to. And I left out there and I said, I'm not doing it. That's stupid. I'm busy enough. I missed him again. Right? Well, anyways, Teresa just told me the other day, she said, see, look, God wants you out of debt. Not just so you'll be comfortable. That'll be in there with it. But he wants you to be able, just like us, this church ain't broke. You know, and so God says, okay, I want you to help them buy the generator over there to your brothers and sisters over there in wherever it's at. Y'all know where it's at. India. God told us 2 or 3 years ago, he said, I want you to send $1,000 to those starving kids during COVID in India. Another pastor. We did that for 2 or 3 years. Or a year or two, whatever it was. Had we not had any money, God could not have did it. Unless he just supernaturally brought somebody, praise the Lord. Well, when he said start this church, I had $300. See, God, when we're down to nothing, he's always up to something. He's already got it worked out. He's got my future worked out. He's got... It's just like I've told Teresa for years, what if something happens to me? But it ain't, I'm going to live long. If something happens to me, I have trusted God to take care of you after if something happens to me. I said, he's going to do it for me. Right? Hallelujah. She'll never have to beg. And that's why I've been believing God. And when we paid her house off, see, we started off, we paid a little credit card off, took the extra money, paid it on another credit card, but we paid that off. And that's the way Teresa, and you got to have somebody willing to be diligent. So we did it and paid the little things off and all of that stuff and worked our way up and paid everything off. And I got out of my truck the other day and I said, God, I said, I thank you, Lord, that I really believed you. It was a challenge. It ain't like I'm just decided all of a sudden to be in faith. And it just happens. No, you got to walk with God. You got to walk and trust him when you don't know how it's going to happen. When you don't know how you can do it, you make up your mind to do it anyhow. And the Bible says all things are possible to that person that believes that God will help them do it. So Teresa, I told Teresa whenever, and then the enemy, he tries to steal from you. He sure does. That blue tractor deal he tried to steal from me. And whenever I worked it out, leaned on the Lord to help me do the impossible. It was impossible for me to fix that. The computer was shot. The system, the regen system was shot. And I refused to let the Lord rob me. But I'm going to have my tractor fixed. I wasn't quitting. I said, I believed you for that tractor, Lord. I believe you for wisdom, God, that you will show me how to fix this tractor in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know everything about that tractor. Praise God, when you learn to do, I don't know how I'm going to act when I go on the streets and knock on the doors. I'll take you right in their living room, man, and we'll sit down, and if they got coffee, I'll have them fix us some. Best life, and she went in a bunch of them. I said, them two's going with me. Well, if the earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord, you ought to be comfortable wherever you're at. Right? Get out of that shy stuff. Aubrey and them, they're talking about they go down there to Subway. You know, why didn't y'all go in? No, Aubrey, I ain't going in. I ain't going in there. She said, because he can't understand nothing we say. You don't get a talk. You don't get a Subway that way. So I told her, I said, they said, well, Papa, are you going there? I said, yeah, I'll go in there and fix it myself. I wouldn't, but I'd have been funny with them. What I'm saying here is she's got to come out of that timidity. Right? You got to come out of that timidity. You can't be cowardly. You know, you can't be, you got to be bold in the Lord. Not pushy, not arrogant, but I mean, you got to go in knowing that God has sent you and you're going in His name and He wants to save, set free, and heal them. I mean, He wants you to pray for the lost, pray for the sick, whether they're lost or not, and He'll touch them and heal them. Down here after the giveaway the other day. And them guys, I've knew them for a long time. One of them sitting in there, and I don't know, he's been in pain all night and blah, 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 you know. And so his brother walked over to me. I was raised with these guys. We know each other, you know. And I've tried to get them church now for 20 years, you know. And anyways, he says, all of a sudden, he just comes over to me, and he said, hey, Scotty, he said, reckon you could go pray for him, man. He's been sick. Oh, he can't breathe. I said, absolutely. Now, see, I could have this mentality, hey, you could have got it in the food line. You didn't get in the food line. Now you expect me to come down here and spend my time? See, you can't be that way. I said, sure. So I'll go around there. I said, hey, man, I said, you want me to pray for you? Yeah, he was talking about later. I said, nah, now, right now. I said, Lord, I'll touch you right now. So I just raised, I said, give me a hand, man. So I just come against that and prayed the prayer of faith over him and said, thank you, Lord, that bide you. And I got done, and he looked up at me, and he said, man, I feel better. I said, of course you do. I said, the Lord Jesus just touched you. I said, of course. Now, I mean, he ain't following God, ain't doing none of that. Then I went over there and I told his brother, I said, man, the Lord just touched him. And then he looked up and there was a walker that Doris, I guess, hung on a nail on the end of that. Did you hang it up? On a nail, right? And he looked up and there it was. And he said, gosh, my brother needs that. He said, that's a seat. I was just looking at one of them online to see if we could get him one of them. Because he can't walk far. It's a cane and then a little seat you fold out and you sit down on it and rest. And I said, huh. I said, that's amazing, man. I've never seen that hanging up there. I said, you know what? I said, Jesus had somebody to hang that up there for you to be looking for it. Then one is looking you right there. So I got it off and I said, this is a gift from Jesus to your brother. I mean, what are the chances of that happening? That was supernatural. Thank you, Doris, for going down there and laboring for Jesus. When nobody, Mac knows. I mean, those things right there don't go unnoticed. I mean, by the Lord, hallelujah. You know, so you can't be a slave to sickness and work for God. That's good news. You just go over your body all the time. My body is the temple of God. Hallelujah. And sickness has no place in my body. I go around telling it, still do all the time when it tries to attack me or all that. And even when I'm not attacked, I go around and I say, I ain't got time to get sick. I'm too busy to be sick. No weapons formed against me will prosper. Hallelujah. When the Lord told me to start this church, I just want to be honest with you. I didn't feel like I could do it. I mean, this building was a mess, you know, and I couldn't come in here and keep vision because I couldn't see how it would be done. So I would leave, and then I would fast, and I would pray, and then I would come back, and I would try to sit here again on a bucket right here looking up through. This wasn't here. And I would sit here and I would leave and I would say, God, show me the vision. Quicken it to me, God. Lord, show me how I can do it and all of that. You know, I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do this, not borrow any money. You know, well, see, God didn't want me punting Teresa's rings anymore. He wanted me delivered from trusting in her rings. He wanted me delivered from bankruptcy. He wanted me delivered from letting stuff go back. I set one truck in my yard and made payments on it, and I told that it was blowed up, and I told that devil, I said, I will never destroy the good name that God give me. I believed him for a good name, and I turned my heart to God, and I said, God, you will supply all of my needs, Lord, to make sure that this don't happen. Well, you know what? That truck sat there month after month after month, and the devil tried to convince me that he was robbing me. That's a lie. He didn't sign for that truck. I did. Right? Devil can't rob me if I don't sign no papers. There's no way. But he was trying to convince me that the devil was robbing me when all the time I was giving God glory. When all the time my son and people watching me was seeing how to have integrity, that we're not going to back down off of our faith. Well, you know what? Today I don't have to make payments on trucks. And I can't say, boy, you're hot. You got faith. No, it's obedience. Faith comes and gives you the strength and endurance to be obedient to the Lord, if whatever he's telling you. But he's going to speak to some of you, praise the Lord, and you be praying about it. And I just want you to know something. Don't go to judging everybody. Well, they ought to be doing this, and they ought to be. You don't need to be judging one another in this house. That is terrible. Terrible. Don't sit at home, they should do this, and they should do that. And if it was me, I'd do that, and I would do. That is judging. That is casting sentence on them when me or you have no idea what. I don't know what I would do facing your stuff, Johnny, whenever your whole family looked wrecked. Why, I felt for you. I didn't go around saying, well, Johnny, if he'd have done different, blah, blah. That's dumb. I can't stand with Johnny and do that and believe for God to bring him out. To bring him out, deliver him. I don't care if he did make a stupid choice. How many of us ain't made one? Any of us ain't never made no mistake? No. We've made plenty. That's why we have God's mercy and God's grace and God's favor when we don't judge. See, I can't be casting sentence on Richard or, what's her name? Jennifer. I didn't write you down. I'm not real good with that. I can't be casting sentence on them. Believe God for my finances. It's not going to happen. I mean, I don't like a lot of things that goes on at this church. You know, I mean, no matter how good it gets, there's still things. That's normal. That's normal. What is not normal is for us to let the enemy get us over into that. Right? They couldn't receive from Jesus because they got familiar with this is a carpenter's son. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. He couldn't do no mighty works there. See, you're a slave to that. You can't be a slave to judging. I don't judge these people out here. I've had people, clan after crew after crew. Y'all are not the first ones. Crew after crew, and they'd come in and they'd say, well, look, we need to demand them to come to church. If they're going to come to church, they're driving Escalades, they're driving Corvettes, they're smoking dope, they're buying dope, you know, and we're giving them this. And I would I'd hear them out, and then I'd say, well, the Bible says, freely give it to us, freely give. I said, really, to love somebody, you don't put a demand on them. You've not given them nothing. Right? So I would have to minister to them. And all it was the enemy trying to get them in the wrong spirit against them. Then you can't go out there and they're in an Escalade and they need Jesus and telling them about him out under the anointing if you're like that. I've had a lot of people, business people in this city, you know, tell me before, you know, look, they don't deserve, man. Some of them don't deserve it, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, you know, I found out in the Bible, you know, that I'm not supposed to try to discern whether they deserve it or not, but the goodness of God leads them to repentance. God being good to them through us, not holding them accountable for anything. See, we can't have that mentality, or he can't send, he couldn't send Jonah to Nineveh. He went the other way and got in trouble. I really don't know what all went on at Nineveh, but he didn't like them. He was upset with them, right? And so he's going from Nineveh. See, a lot of people are in trouble with God today because we got to keep our hearts one with God so that we don't go away from Him and start judging one another. We don't go away from Him and start criticizing one another. I had to learn it. I mean, just like Damien, he's leaving now, you know, and some could say, well, what's wrong with him? What's wrong? No, we called him up. Teresa called him up, getting him in here Sunday. He's fixing to get married, and you know, and they gonna go with their life, you know. But we asked him if he would come here and let us bless him and tell him bye. Right? Be glad that that he's been in our life faithful for all of them years. When he wanted to quit, and I'd say nah, and he's like, okay. What was I teaching him? That's how come he's a manager right now. Right? He's got faithfulness. He's got integrity. He's got something that come from the church and his parents. Praise God, hallelujah. And we're going to rejoice with him. Right? They're going to come in. Some of y'all be with us forever. Some of you may not. I hope you are. But I'm not going to try to hold you out of God's will if I'm supposed to raise you up and train you and send you out. And we as a body have to have the same mentality. And so I thought, praise God, hallelujah. We're going to show firsthand example how you do this. The boy served, been here for, I mean, he tried to tote boxes and he couldn't lift them. Then he got up where he could tote two of them. And I'm like, set one of them down. I'm not getting that. And he's trying to overload me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, that's when we succeed, when we bring our kids up and show them how to follow Jesus and serve the Lord, serve in the church and be a part. See, you're not really following Jesus fully till you get planted somewhere where God wants you in the church and then begin to serve there. You begin to serve there. Right? So you can't have a slave of defeat mentality. And how you do that, you can't faith it. You got to develop it. You got to renew your mind to God's word that says, I can do all things. I went to the bank and go open y'all know this stuff. So I went, go open a banking account, and there wasn't nobody. We're having Bible study back there. Open a banking account up. Well, we got to get your members down here. And I'm like, well, I ain't got none. God told me to start it. I don't got no members. Well, we don't know. We can't do that. I said, oh, you can. Philippians 4:13 says you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened you. I'm like, and she said, well, it normally don't happen that way, the denomination. I said, well, I said, you know, I guess God's tired of that denominational stuff. I said, he sent me down here without all them, and I guess he's getting tired of y'all and Christians kicking them out of church. I said, now I got to start preaching in there. I said, because I'm going to start this church. I said, ain't nobody going to kick me out. I said, God told me to come, but God, and if he told me to come, if God be for me, who can be against? They tried. They tried to round them up and posse them up and outvote us, and I pulled the committee down. I went, no more. We're not having that. That don't work. Well, God didn't tell me to do it to start with. God didn't tell me, but I got elders in here. Johnny's one. Monty's one. That one's one. That one's one. Doris is one. If something big financially we're going to do, usually I call them up. What do y'all think, you know? And you know, I'm accountable. How many knows we're really accountable to the Lord? Hallelujah. But you know what? They just delivered the generator over there to that church that we helped put the floor in, giving some praise. They delivered it. Hallelujah. They delivered that generator to him. And he sent a great big thank you. He told me, he said, because of y'all, they're walking on their floors in their church. They've been doing this for years for this church. And the government against them. I mean, against them preaching Jesus and coming in like we are. If they believe you're trying to convert somebody to Christianity, you can go to prison over there. We're blessed over here. He comes over here, he knows we're on World Wide Web up there, and he's like, I'm on kind of watch what I say, if that's okay with you. I said, do what you feel led. Well, the government listens to us. Right? We've been kicked off of YouTube and banned off of Facebook. And I mean, back during COVID, just because I'm teaching y'all to fight COVID on your own. Man told me, you got banned. And I said, well, they can't ban Jesus. But God, they throw me off of that and praise God. But I know Jesus went on the side of the mountain and his voice was carried over multitudes, praise God. I met Jesus before we had all this. So, you know, I preached and won people to Jesus without all that. I find that evangelism does usually more than all that. They just use that as they lay home and not go to church. Don't fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. You will see things happen in 2026. God told me to tell you this. You will see things happen in 2026 that you've been believing God for a while. You've been believing God for some of you for this to happen. Houses, land, whatever. Businesses. I believe God lined me and Travis up, and we just went to a business the other day, and because of the way we carried ourselves, I didn't mention Jesus or nothing on that job. Come to find out, they had bought their pawpaws, their daddy's, their pawpaw owned it, their daddy owned it, and these brothers has it. And it's they got two businesses in Abbottville up there, and we just went up there the other day, and he said, I didn't tell him about y'all because I wanted him to get the full flavor of y'all. Well, I went in, and I just walked into place, you know, and I thought he knew. So he comes out the door, and I said, I'm here to make money. Like that. And he said, what? What are y'all doing? Travis and them, they're going back there looking at the door, and we know we're at the right place, you know. And he's like, I said, well, we're here to make money, man. I mean, then I realized you didn't know. So when he told him that, he said, I got the full flavor of it. Well, I told him, I said, he wants to start selling God's doors. You know, and I said, well, I said, well, this is how, and so I thought, God opens doors that no man can shut, right? Hallelujah. And so I told him on the job, I said, oh, yeah. I said, don't ever call nobody else. I said, because this is my son right here. This guy's got 12 years experience. I said, and he's got my grandson. He said, he's coming up and he's going to be in it too. like that, you know. And he's like, that's what happened to us. He said, oh, it's a family thing. God sets you in your gifts will make room for you. Whatever you're in the will of God doing, I'm telling you, doors will open for you, things will happen for you that don't normally happen because you are trusting Him to increase you. You are relying on the blessing of the Lord and not your job and your strength and your ability. Praise God. And God told me when He's told me to open this church, I know I'm going a little long, but y'all okay, everybody's off till Monday. The rest of them, they going to pray in the new year. Well, we done it. And we're going to go home. We're not going to feel like we're hung over tomorrow. Now, if you decide to stay up all night, that's your problem. Travis, if he ever does it and he gets in his truck, I tell him that's your fault, not mine. I feel good. Feel good. I went to bed at 9:30, 10:30. Hallelujah. I don't care if Jesus is going to be there at 12. I'm still going to sleep. He can wake me up. Get me an out, right? Hallelujah. But God told me two things when I started this church and we've been doing it. He said, I want you to bring down the kingdom of darkness. And I want you to restore the kingdom of God in the hearts of my people. And so ever since, I'm like, glory to God. I go march through, I'll tell Satan every now and then, remember back there when I walked around the city, you sucker? These people belong to us, these lost. We're claiming them for an inheritance to the kingdom. Well, if it takes us 30 years, so be it. Right? We take step at a time and we keep on, hallelujah. We keep on till we take our promised land, praise God. And you gotta be wealthy. We got a lot to do. You're going to have to increase. We're believing God for another building, lands, properties, you know, street ministries. I'm thinking, Lord, give us ideas, you know, because hot dog feasts don't get it. It'll get them to eat with you, and then you never see them again. But the preaching of the gospel, the word of God goes in and it brings eternal into their hearts, hallelujah. But you will see, if you're going to walk with God, you must get rid of I can't mentality. If you're going to have God's best. If it's just like we're going to start having practices two Sundays, last two Sundays of this month, and I'm sitting there, you know, and I feel like the Lord's telling me that, you know, and I thought, what's Travis going to think? And I thought, I don't care what he thinks. I can. Right? That's a I can't. God wants us to do it. Now, I don't debate it. Right? God wants you to love one another. You don't debate it. God wants you to train your kids up. Don't debate it. Don't give in to the emotion. You just do it. You can. You gotta renew your mind and keep it renewed that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You can do the will of God. You got to lay and meditate on it if you have to. I can do the will of God. God, you will move everything that gets in my way to do the will of God. Well, I didn't ask Travis, but I tell him next day, I said, well, you know, I had a thought. We're off on Sunday. Unload a truck. Like, we ought to be off the rest, like it wears us out or something to unload a truck, right? What are y'all quiet for? Y'all been thinking that too? But seek first the kingdom and His right, and all these things, like Richard was preaching, will be added to us. So get geared up in your mind. I believe 2026, God is going to shift our whole ministry. I believe it's going to throw us sideways and, man, he's going to be in control and we're going to enjoy the ride. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to encourage you. Believe God. Believe Him big. Believe Him for ministry. Believe Him to use you. Don't get in all that detail garbage. Let Him work all the details out. And, man, you will see. I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade nothing that I've done over the last 30 years of ministry other than the ones I didn't obey, man. But the ones I obeyed God in, man, it just blesses your life. Let's pray.